tracks deep. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey everybody, welcome to Killer Cereals. Tony Jones,
Ryan Parker,
where every week we break down an episode of an awesome cereal TV show, and we look for the moral, spiritual, religious, belief, meaning, and truth components. We are talking about The Path, and we are in season one and episode nine, the penultimate episode. And this is a show, Ryan, that both you and I have, you know, have thought is consistently good, maybe even getting better. It's just rare that a show can sustain this level of acting, production value, and plot line through a whole season.
It's built, and to your point, you know, I think we said this last episode, or maybe I brought it up. It's so good that it feels like, you know, some shows have dipped, you know, they dip, you know, maybe third episode or the fourth episode is not great. But this feels like it's just continually risen episode by episode.
Yeah.
And it feels like we're skyrocketing with 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah, it's really, it's such a crescendo in these last episodes of the season. And
I think with episode 9, it felt like this is something I want to watch on a big screen.
Yeah,
it just feels like the narrative just getting so much bigger.
Just to remind our listeners, we've got an interview next week for episode 10 with the creator of the show and Jessica Goldberg, and that's just going to be, whew, it's a.
And cool. I want to say, and we're going to be promoting this through social media and different outlets, that a lot of people are waiting to catch up on this show and just binge watch it all at once. And I think I'm going to put out a recommendation that you binge watch the first 9, and then I think you just binge watch the 9, and then that way you can watch 10 live, because I think you're going to want to.
I mean, here's an interesting thing is even live, though, it's still they release it on Hulu on a Wednesday. And so it's not
So the weekend before, watch all 9.
But I'm just saying, it's still, because it's not on a traditional cable channel or network channel, there's not really a live tweeting element to this. It's not appointment viewing. But I'm sure that even on just on the day it's released on that Wednesday, there'll be a lot of buzz and activity online about it. And I'll say that for people who live in Los Angeles, there's a special sneak.
There's a great organization out here called Sinespia, and they do live screenings of events, and they did this for Breaking Bad as well. And they host these events at really cool venues across the city, one of which is the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. And they're going to be watching the season finale of The Path a weekend before.
On a big screen, like you say.
On a big screen.
Yeah,
and they bring your own booze, bring a picnic. You know, maybe folks from the show will be there. So that, if people are listening and you're in the L.A. area, you should definitely check that out. Unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town. Otherwise, I would go, because they're just such fun community events.
Yeah. Well,
so let's talk about 9.
Why don't you run us down what happens in episode 109?
Yeah, let's knock that out real quick. So finally, Sarah learns what's been kind of weirding Eddie out the whole season, right? So Allison, yeah, confronts her at a bar, and says,
so she finds out that both Eddie and Cal have been lying to her.
Pretty much, yeah, because she realizes that he didn't have an affair with that woman and with Minka Kelly's character in Peru, and that he's just simply having doubts. And the expressions on Michelle Monaghan's face as that conversation continues, it just gets graver and graver.
Oh my gosh!
And we'll come back to this. And we talked about this last episode about belonging in a movement. Do you believe and what the faith or the movement articulates, or and if not, why do you stay in it? And Allison tells her, at least he loves you.
Yeah.
And loves your kids. That's enough, right? So what, he doesn't believe a ladder
for Sarah. Not enough for Sarah.
Doesn't say a word, turns around and walks out and leaves that journal, leaves her husband's journal on the, which I don't know if we're ever going to learn what's in the journal. But so there, so you've got that going on. Later in the episode, to keep it in the family, so to speak, Hawk tells, no. So at the back at the ranch, Eddie basically tells everybody in the movement, I didn't see anything. I didn't learn anything about the light.
Yeah, he goes up on stage. He goes up to church on Sunday morning to give his testimony, and it's like the most anticlimactic testimony of all time.
But he says, I learned that I love my family. And really, what he's trying to do is prove to Sarah, so what if I have doubts? I still love you. And I think he's genuine about it.
He's genuine about it, but once again, it shows how far apart these two are.
Sure.
Because that doesn't matter to her. The light is so much more. Here's what it's like. You know what it's like? It's like when you go onto some guy's Twitter bio, okay? Some super earnest evangelical youth pastor. And it'll be like on his Twitter bio line, it'll say like, lover of Jesus, spouse to Alicia, and father to Jim Bob, in that order. It'll say that, like, I want you to know the lordship of Jesus Christ is more important to me even than my wife and my son.
The umbrella over everything else.
Right? And you're like, give me a freaking break. Like,
But this is the truth for Sarah. Here's why. So when she confronts him and says, I know about Allison, Eddie begins to say, come on, I love you. Is that not enough? And he goes, how many people eat a cracker and really believe that it's the body of Christ? And he was like, we matter. And she says, no, we're part of something that matters, and we matter because we're part of it. And he goes, you don't really believe that. And she goes, you don't know me at all. And turns around and walks away.
And in that same moment, like in that same, they're with Richard, and they're trying to work on their stuff again. They're like in marriage counseling again. Eddie says, "There's got to be room for fucking doubt."
And so Hawk, to keep on the family, Hawk doesn't realize that this is going on. He's consumed with Ashley at school.
Yeah.
He's finally run to her. He realizes on the walk, like Eddie, that family, right, or relationships are what's important. Yeah. He runs to Ashley. They get it on in school. At dinner with the family, he tells his mom, I'm not taking my vows. I'm gonna stay in school. And you think maybe this is the moment where Sarah exercises some, I don't know, compassion?
Yeah.
No. She says, hit the bricks, kid. Right. And you can't talk to your sister, me, or any of your family ever again.
Tough love.
And Eddie tries to stand up for him. Of course, she stonewalls Eddie.
Yeah.
So you've got that going on with the family. And then you have Cal still trying to be Cal and figure it out, right? He's back in Peru momentarily, or at least there's a flashback to him in Peru trying to commune with Stephen. Mm-hmm. But then Sarah confronts Cal. Cal plays it off as this kind of, he's kind of the mastermind of this whole thing. And he says, look, Steve's finished the rungs. And not only that, but he wants you to take leadership with me.
Right.
And that stokes her
fire. And here's what's interesting, though, about Cal is there are moments when I think Cal's a true believer in the light. And there are other moments where he's not. He's just a charlatan, a bit of a businessman. And he just happened to pick this industry and he's good at it. Because he'll say things like, these people need to believe in me, and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And so I wonder, because it's so clear Eddie's having doubt. He's being honest with himself. It's so clear Sarah's a true believer that if she does have doubts, she has shoved them so far away that she won't even let herself entertain them. And then you've got Cal. He's like, He's a televangelist. He probably believed it at one point. He probably doesn't believe it anymore, but it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't. So here's the thing with Cal, and we see this in the episode, is to that televangelist point, he's really taking on, he's still a leader. I think he's a leader. He's certainly a charismatic individual. Yeah. And he's actually, in this episode, he goes to Ridge, the guy, the financial guy, mm-hmm. And they meet in the coolest of all places, a burlesque club, and he says, I want you to run the financials for this movement. You might as well say company, because he essentially wants to go public with it and grow at least their financials, and to keep on the kind of just the final kind of plot point for this episode. He is arranging this relationship, this partnership, which clearly is going to come to fruition, because he goes to Ashley, Hogg's girlfriend, and basically bribes her with a house, a very nice house, and says, your family can have this. Stay the heck away from Hogg for good, and your family will be taken care of. So she breaks up with him. Hogg goes home in tears. Eddie embraces him, almost this prodigal son kind of thing, embraces him and says, you know, it's going to be okay. He goes to tell Sarah, and Sarah's like, tough shit.
Right.
You know? Right. And that's essentially the end of that episode, although we see another interesting, you know, Allison comes crawling back. We thought she was going to kill herself.
We thought she
has an unsuccessful suicide attempt, and she comes back, and there's that conflict of kind of the core group. You have an outsider who's really thrown a wrench in the game. She comes back. They accept her.
Yeah.
But in kind of that mirror of that larger community, in the family, Eddie accepts Hogg, but Sarah can't. So that's kind of where we are left at the end of the 109.
Yeah, a couple interesting things to point out. One is that just as Hogg and Eddie put rocks in their backpacks to go, you know, on their walk, what's her name? The actress.
It's Allison.
Allison. Sarah Jones is the actress. She puts rocks in her pockets to go and commit suicide.
Because that's kind of final journey.
Because she's read her, you know, her husband's journal that was given to her by Sarah. So there's some interesting things, like in some ways rocks are the sign of freedom and spiritual progression for two characters, and then rocks in the pocket is like the end. I mean, you really do think the whole episode that Allison has committed suicide and drowned in a frozen lake. With her husband's journal, until she shows up at the end. Another interesting little thing is, and to give a little teaser of our interview with Jessica for next week, Cal comes back from his meeting at the burlesque club, and Sarah sees him and says, "You're wearing a tie, right?" And it's like, these are jeans and t-shirt people, and
sharp dressed man,
right? And it's all part of Cal wanting to become more establishment. Like he says in the burlesque call to Ridge, almost in a whisper, expansion. Like, what do you want? Expansion. Yeah. He's like Ray Kroc, you know.
Yeah.
He's just a capitalist. He just wants
more
market share in the religious market. That's what he wants.
And now,
he's
wanted that all along, right? Yeah. And it's episode 2 or 3 where he's like, look, we got to do this interview. We got to do media.
Right.
You got to get an Instagram account.
He's got to go secular with Ridge to get that, because he needs somebody who can turn his money into more money. And he's got to wear a necktie to do that. And the teaser for next week is Jessica says to us, yeah, she's like, Cal wants to switch. Cal wants collared shirts, which,
put the collars on the shirts.
Yeah, like the Meyerist uniform is jeans, work boots, and a ringer
company t-shirt.
Company t-shirt, right? And Cal's trying to go all legit with a necktie and a burlesque call with a, you know, venture capitalist.
Let's go back to this notion of, there's something about community and belonging or participating in the way you dress. It's another thing to talk about your worth and your value and your identity. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued by this. We've talked about this throughout the episode, that kind of tension between believing, behaving, and belonging, that mm-hmm. dichotomy. Eddie says to Sarah, we matter. We're all that matters. And she says, no, we belong to something that matters. And I'm just intrigued by that tension of how we value one another, or how we place value on people and ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Especially as Christians, we grow up and there's a certain strand of Christianity that says, you know, you're nothing. You're only something because God loves you.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are humanists who say, no, we have value because we exist as humans.
Right.
Right? So I don't know, what do you make of that tension in the series, and just, does this offer a window for you into that understanding of value and meaning?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question you ask. I mean, the question is, do human beings have some kind of intrinsic, ontological, moral worth just for the fact that, you know, just for the fact that out of the billions of sperm that swam up the canal, you know, you're the one that made it.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's intrinsic to you that you have worth and value. Or is it because there's something else bigger out there you're striving for? It's the light, or it's God, or it's the Trinity, or it's Nirvana. You know what, or it's reincarnation, that I think that's a fascinating separation, and I wonder if Eddie continues to go down the path he's going, which is leaving the movement, or somehow coming to a different kind of terms with the movement, if he struggles with, do I still have moral worth? Because Eddie came to the movement out of some kind of moral degenerate state.
Moral or just?
I mean, I think he was like, it's clear he was like doing drugs, and he was
biological.
at the end of his rope, right? Eddie,
sure,
was.
Of
and
course,
he came
yeah,
into this
yeah.
movement, and they
emotional.
Gave, They
Mental.
Gave him. They gave him some kind of purpose. They gave him
framework,
some kind of direction in his life. Now, if he leaves that, you know, right now he's making the argument: my family is my purpose. I live for these other three people.
Yeah.
And
if he leaves the movement, he loses them.
Yeah. And what's amazing is he. I mean, the big question for him leading toward the end of this episode is he going to cross that threshold and argue and say to these people's faces, what you believe is a sham, there is no light. Now, before that happens, he goes to his in-laws. And, I mean, I actually have been in a very similar situation of this as Eddie is. He goes to his in-laws like, your daughter kicked your grandson out of the house. I need your help. We need some kind of intervention. I need you to be my allies on this. We need to stand together.
And they take their daughter's side.
Man, they're like ready to pitch their, like, if that's the way it's got. They've even lost a child.
And they're like, hey, Eddie, we'll put you in a treatment center.
Yeah, like, you told me you think this is an example of great writing. Because if ever there were a scene in this show that I thought I know what's going to happen, is that, you know, look.
The pot-smoking granddad.
Who's already lost a daughter is going to be like, okay, if there were ever a time to bend the rules. Now, remember, just last episode, we saw Eddie and Hawk bending the rules repeatedly while they were on the walk.
Yeah, and attaining what I argued was a deeper connection, spiritual connection.
To one another,
and to the divine.
And to the divine. So they eat meat, they take a ride, they use their money on the wrong things, they use a telephone. So they bend the rules. Now here's an even more pointed opportunity for Sarah and Sarah's parents to bend the rules for the sake of their own grandson. Like, you got an adolescent, he's having doubts. Let's keep him in the family while he has the doubts. It's a little bit like, hey, son, if you're going to drink beer, I'm going to sit on the back step and drink the beer with you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's what parents do. And instead, they're like, no, fuck our grandson. Yeah. The light's more important. And by the way, Eddie, we need to get you in a program. And he's like, I'm not going to another program.
Is this a case where value, ascribing value to people and making meaning, where religion actually backfires? I've been thinking about this a bit through the show. Like, it, you don't mean anything apart from your willingness to believe in this system.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, you know, you joked about the sperm up the canal, and like, the fact that there is anything is cause, in my opinion, for awe and wonder.
Yeah.
And that we exist in this complexity of being, to me, is quite literally unbelievable. And, you know, worthy of all sorts of meaning and value and reflection and all that. I mean, why do we have to add anything to it?
Because the argument would be that, yes, you can be in awe of your own existence. But
and
then,
not mine, just everything.
I know, but you know what that could, but that what that could drive you to is to say, I'm in awe of existence and the chance that, and so for that reason, I'm going to fight like hell to make sure that white people survive and other people don't. Like,
no, you are misreading what I'm saying, like, terribly. I'm saying that there is humanity at all. Like, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. Maybe somebody can take what I'm saying and twist it and apply a racial component to it. I'm saying that any existence whatsoever is worthy of respect and awe.
And I think to
break that or to do harm to that is sin.
I think the counter argument to that is simply that without some kind of normative sacred text like the Meyerist Bible or the Christian scripture or whatever, the counter argument is simply that it can become a very ultimately relative.
I would agree with you, except for the fact that the history of Christianity is nothing but people using sacred texts to relativize their existence and oppress other people.
Yeah. No, it's fair. Then the counter argument to that is, well, those people read it wrong. I mean, you can't hold it against the rest of us because people misinterpreted it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting that the this Variety article that we mentioned last week in the last episode of the podcast, that Jessica, the creator of the show and the producers and the writers, they wrote a Bible. They have the sacred text of the Meyerist movement because they knew that there was going to have to be a Bible. Now, what we're going to see is people are going to violate the terms of that sacred text and things like that. But there is a sacred text. Like, they needed it to even write a fictional television show based on a fictional religion. They were like, we need a Bible to start with. So they wrote the Meyerist Bible.
You need a sacred text to give, obviously, to add the authenticity to build a world around that text, of course. I feel like the series has been interesting. It's just been so fascinating to me. And as it's all kind of coming to a head of sorts with the final two episodes here, it just, you think, God, when are you going to realize, when is Sarah going to realize, like Eddie, that there are more important things? Yeah. But again, what keeps me watching is that she doesn't, you know, that it,
not
the,
only
it
that
keeps
she
the
doesn't,
tension going.
But maybe she's right.
She's
maybe
doubling down on.
Maybe she's right. Maybe Eddie's wrong. Maybe there is a garden.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, if Hawk walks out and doesn't come back, maybe Hawk.
Maybe they're apart forever.
Yeah, maybe they're apart forever. And maybe Sarah's the real hero because she has the courage to say, I'll take the hard stuff in the short term for the eternal life in the garden with the people who believe. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't she want to be with her pot-smoking dad for...
Well, dude, episode 9, I think, it's obviously gives us plenty to talk about. And, you know, I think that, you know, I'm sure people who've been with us this long are thrilled that we chose this show. And I hope that I'm thrilled. And I hope, episode 10 next week, when you all tune in, you'll hear us recap episode 10, but also air our interview with Jessica Goldberg. And
I feel like we need a podcast 110 and 110A, because I now want to talk about more of the show. But yeah, next week, very brief, us blabbing to each other,
and then we give it away to
Jessica. So thanks everybody for hanging in there with us.
It's a great show.
And I think we're getting closer to. I think we could go ahead and tell people what our next show is going to be.
Yeah,
because we've already recorded 10. So be on the lookout. Adding to your watch list, Sunday, May 22nd is the premiere of Preacher, which is AMC's adaptation of the cult classic comic book series. A lot of people probably came on when it was finally in the trade paperback versions. I know I did. We'll talk more about that in future episodes. But AMC Preacher, it is going to be quite unlike anything we've seen. I think Tony and I might be in disagreement over the series value. We'll see. I've seen the pilot. I saw the pilot just a couple months ago. It's fun. Super violent.
All right.
But I think there's some interesting religious stuff at its core. So stay tuned for that. Thanks, Tony.
Hey, thanks everybody for listening to Killer Serial. See you next week for episode 10 of The Path.
Eddie, when you came to us, what did you find?
Home.
I was following the
The future is coming. Poverty, political instability, terrorism. Everything we know will collapse.
I don't want to live for this moment. I want to live forever. In the garden that we are creating here together.
What happened on your retreat?
What do you mean?
You've been acting distant since you got back.
You need to know you are everything to me.
Looking into the Myers movement.
I'm putting them on cult watch.
How about you tell me something so I know that this isn't a trap?
We don't hurt people.
You sure about that?
We who follow this path, we struggle with our relationship with the outside world. If darkness falls,
we are light.
I mean, I'm not gonna blow up my life because of something I don't even know, but I really saw.
You are nothing! You are nobody!
We're telling you to move to this side.
I can walk out on the street and make people believe.
With scarves of red tied round their throats to keep their little heads from falling in the snow. And I turn round and there you go. And Michael, you would fall and turn the white snow red as strobe.